Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Growing Greater brings you stories of innovators, entrepreneurs, and business leaders who are transforming industries and communities as they turn ideas into reality, embrace risk, and invest in new technologies and relationships, all while building legacies of tomorrow. While Growing Greater originates in the city where modern democracy was founded and where innovation is part of the regional DNA, Philadelphia, we bring you stories from around the corner and around the world. Tune in to Growing Greater at radio.com or anywhere you get your podcasts. Growing Greater brings you stories of innovators, entrepreneurs, and business leaders who are transforming industries and communities as they turn ideas into reality, embrace risk, and invest in new technologies and relationships, all while building legacies of tomorrow. While Growing Greater originates in the city where modern democracy was founded and where innovation is part of the regional DNA, Philadelphia, we bring you stories from around the corner and around the world. Tune in to Growing Greater at radio.com or anywhere you get your podcasts.
I know I'm sounding like I do everything right. You should ask my wife how I can improve. She's going to be like, hey,
yeah,
how much time you got? Oh, I got we all got problems, man.
Yeah, for sure.
We all. I think my biggest issue is similar to yours in that my job is me. To be good or successful in the entertainment field, you are going to end up being a little... And self-centered isn't the right word. Like, I don't think I'm better than everybody. But because I've had to focus on me and every aspect of me, every interview, every stand-up, writing, pitching myself, you end up thinking about yourself a lot.
100%. You and critique everything about you.
But because your whole... And I spend a lot of time by myself thinking about me. It's my biggest problem in my marriage because I'm just used to thinking about me all the time. So I'm like, well, you just need to get on board with this schedule because this is what I do.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing for me.
And it's so funny because it's not a self-centered point of view at all. It's not like...
I don't consider myself to be self-centered or selfish in any way, shape, or form.
No, and neither do I. But it's a lot of work on me. Oh, wait, I'm always in my own head. I'm always critiquing or always just, you know, writing or whatever the case may be. It's always on me. It's always inner focused.
Yeah. And so when you get into a relationship, it's important to remember that there's somebody else there
who's doing all the work for you and painting the house
doesn't
and doing
give
the dishes.
A f- about you all the time, you know? So I, you know, that's one of the reasons, like it's hard for me to, sometimes I come home, I've been on the road for 5 days thinking about me and little things like I'll go to the store and get me a coffee. Because I'm just used to being by myself getting a coffee.
Sure.
And I come home, she's like, you didn't give me coffee? And it's just not that I wasn't thinking about her, and I didn't want to think about her, but I'm so conditioned just to go get a that's the kind of stuff that, for me, is my biggest thing. It's hard to explain it, because that's not how most people live their lives.
Right.
Their job, they go to work, somebody else's business, where it's mindless or brainless or something they don't really care about. But it's not them all day. But when you're focusing on you all day, how do I make me better? Me, not just better. How do I make me more? How do I make more people like me? Mm-hmm. It's a really specific
Isn't that exhausting?
Yes.
I like think about this a lot. There's always things that like I stress about and I dwell on a lot. And the one recently is like, what makes me want to have strangers like me?
Yeah.
Why am I obsessed with making them laugh and having them like me? What is it about me that wants that?
I think we're all there now with social media. Like, you don't post anything not to get likes.
Right.
You don't, when people post kind of self-righteous stuff on Twitter, they want the affirmation. You're right, man. Yep, right. You got it.
Yeah.
You're the best, man. I don't know, like, what it is about me that makes me want that.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this, actually. I've got the minute I started to get exponentially better as a comic was when I actually, to be honest, stopped thinking, what more can I do to make people like me and just think more like, what do I think is funny? What do I like to do? What do I think is fun? And as soon as I started doing that, the product of whatever I was putting out got way better.
Really?
Because I stopped doing it for other people and I stopped writing jokes that I thought other people would think were funny or being the person that I thought other people would like. For example, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, I would have said to you for sure, hey, take that white woman thing out.
Yeah.
Take it out.
Sure.
I would have been worried that it would have hurt somebody's feelings and it would have come across that I don't like white people or white women over the age of 40 or...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Sure, sure, 100%.
But like, now I'm more just about, look, you know, I know who I am and I know what I do and I'm going to continue to do that and do things that I like and that I think are fun and it just makes it more authentic.
Sure. But,
so the day that I stopped thinking about what other people will like and how other people will like me, I mean, the day it really opened up a little bit for me. You know, the High Live helped me a lot with that.
Really?
The High Live, because, you know, I was a guy who felt pressure to be funny. I took a long time for me to figure out the new form of entertainment in that, like, podcast.
Sure.
So podcast doesn't have to be funny all the time. Is it entertaining? Are you talking about things that people are interested in? Are you being honest? Are you being upfront?
Exactly.
Right? So that was like, it was an interesting turn where I was like, oh, okay. And then the High Live, so I would talk in front of, smoke weed.
Sure.
And there's no way to be funny or coherent for a whole hour. But I was so worried about that.
Right.
But then about maybe 3 or 4 episodes in, I was just like, I can't do it. And it made me comfortable with the silence. It made me comfortable with not being having to be funny all the time. And it made me slow down on stage. It made me slow down. It just made me more comfortable with being, oh, sometimes I'm not going to be funny. Sometimes I'm going to make a fool out of myself. And you know what? I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to be the same person. And just taking the fear out of that was pretty eye-opening for me.
Yeah. And you let the funny just come to you. Like, the funny just
hopefully,
happens like, organically.
Yeah, that's the goal, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes on High Live, I say some of the stupidest things. And when I say them, I get so happy. Because I'm like, you know what? I can't believe I allowed myself to say this. And I'm not erasing it tomorrow.
Sure.
This is going to live forever.
Yeah.
Me. On the High Live, I must forget what I'm going to say. I mean, if anybody's watched, shit. Especially the last month or two, I've been taking mushrooms and smoking weed.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's been, what's that, you like mushrooms?
No, I just watched that one. We were watching a little bit
of
it.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, wait, what?
Was that the one with the Viking helmet on?
Yeah, what do you do?
I was wearing the Viking helmet with those big white glasses.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah. And I only wear these glasses.
Oh, those are great.
So
I never saw them in person. Yeah.
Oh, I only wear these glasses.
Rocking, yeah.
And so, a couple years ago, I had to really come to terms with the fact that I like lady shades.
They look good.
I like lady shades. I just like them more, you know? And so, but I brought it to High Live in the weird smoking baby hand. Yeah. It just has been a perfect storm of me.
Yeah.
It's the best way I can, I just get to do, but the Viking helmet came out after I started doing mushrooms. But last week, I didn't take mushrooms, and I put the Viking helmet on. I looked at myself. I'm like, this looks ridiculous.
This doesn't feel right.
Yeah, and first, because I had been talking about how I don't know if the mushrooms actually did anything to me, and I put the Viking helmet on. I'm like, yeah, they did.
Two caps did it.
Yeah, I can definitely take. But I'm going to get back to it. I think what I might do is instead of Monday night, I think I just might do it a night on the road.
Okay.
I'm already out here. I'm not at home. It's not a night with my wife.
Right.
I'm not taking away another night with her.
Makes sense.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So that seems to me closer to what I would do. So if I'm going to, I'll probably get it back up and running in a couple weeks, but I'm going to try to figure out how to do it from the road.
Nice. That's a happy medium. That's a nice compromise.
Yeah, man. But the thing that I'm most excited about is that I do the show called Control Chaos.
Sure.
Man, it's finally what I want it to be. It's so bananas. I don't know if you've had a chance.
I saw you twerking.
Did you see that?
Yes.
Did you?
Okay.
Did you see what I posted on of Fortune dancing on the show?
No, pull it up.
And and there's a couple of clips recently. Tim Dillon, you know who Tim Dillon?
Yeah, for sure.
Tim Dillon. You know, sometimes I have my guests improv jingles.
Okay.
And he improvised a jingle for Lunchables. You should, if you go to my IG page. It's one of the funny. He's one of the off the cuff funniest people.
Yeah.
But his jingle about Lunchables, man. But this show is literally like if At Midnight met Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
Just off the wall.
Fun. No politics. No social issues.
It's an escape.
100% escape, but from a weird mind. Like I like. There's a character on the show called the man who lives under the stage, because the stage has a trap door. Do you guys know a guy named Sandy Danto? He's opening for me this weekend. He's a comic.
Name sounds familiar. Yeah, yeah.
Sandy, we film him under the stage, and he's just this dude who asks weird questions like, "Are lice and crabs the same?" You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're like, yeah. And then we just got to talk about this weird dude who lives under the stage. But like, I like, you
I
know,
like stuff like that.
I like on the show. Every show, we have a weird improv actor come and sit down and disrupt the show. I don't know who he's – I don't know what character they are this week. I don't know what they want to talk about. They walk in. They sit down, and they just – like Sandy, another. I had my appendix out not too long ago, so I said, Sandy, I want you to come on the show as my appendix. So he's done like 5 appearances as my appendix. Once he came in his suit, I'm like, you're looking good. He goes, I got a job. The first time he appeared on the show, he appeared with a lawyer. He was suing me for unlawful removal. And he was like, man, we've had so many good years together. One bad weekend, you kick me out. I'm like, look at the size of you, man. You know what I mean? Like, but it's just weird.
It's,
fun. It's weird fun. If you get a chance, it's on my Facebook fan page. It's at 7 o'clock Pacific time every Tuesday night. So 10 o'clock here, but you can find it on my YouTube page too.
So much fun.
I like it because there's no wrong answers. And I call it Control Chaos because I don't hate it when things go wrong. Here's some things I don't like. I don't like when things go wrong and we're late. I don't like things when the things go wrong and, you know, I don't get the show out on time. But if things go wrong during the show, I'm okay. I like, we had a guy named Avery Pearson is my, he plays the keyboard for me. And he's like my co-host, but he couldn't be there this week. So we had 2 guys in that were just not good. And they couldn't do the things he did. And the one guy was like, you didn't tell me I was supposed to, during the show. You didn't tell me I was supposed to do this. I'm not prepared to do this, right? I loved all of it.
Yeah.
Top to bottom. Loved all of it. But the show started 20 minutes late. And that was driving me crazy. But whatever train wreck happens during the show, to me, is part of the show. I love live. One of my most favorite things I ever did, I did a show called Shark After Dark because it was live.
For sure.
And things went wrong. Things went wrong.
I love Shark After Dark.
And you just had to f***ing figure it out.
Yeah.
And so that's, I love that shit, man.
I have the twerking and the Lunchables, though.
I got to hear the Lunchables jingle. Put that mic to it.
Your parents hit you, but they feed you. And they tell you they don't need you. Blink a lot, you take some pills, life is not great, there aren't thrills, but you got cold pizza on Tuesday. You got ham and cheese on Wednesday. Mom's asleep at 3 p.m. It ain't great. But you're eating something, you're gonna throw up later when you think about the future. take a breath. It'll taste like
a Oh, my God.
I want to tell you how quickly that had happened. I said to him, so when they sit on the couch, you know, we have a lot of different games that we play. But sometimes we do something called Jingle Jangle. And Avery can play anything and any type of music. And I tell the three guests that those three guests were Tim Dillon, Adam Ray, and Laura Bites. I'm sorry. They all crushed it. But this is how long I have it. I go, Tim, you are going to do a jingle about Lunchables. What type of music do you want Avery to play for you? And he'll tell them. Avery plays a chord and he's off.
And just let it rip all the time.
That's how, and that was so detailed. And so, right, that if he had written that, I'd have been like still laughing. But the fact that I gave him 15 seconds and that he just sang that. And so the show is that. You got to be quick. You have to be able to. I have dear friends who I tell all the time, I just can't have you on the show because you don't want to play. Mm. You have to be willing to be silly to come on that show because that's what the show is. And for me, I do it like that because there's so many podcasts that are just, we're all talking to the same people, mm-hmm. especially in LA. We're all talking about the same things and we're all breaking, you know, cracking codes and whatever. But the silly part of it is, I feel like what's missing. So you come on my show, it's silly.
Yeah.
You saw me twerking.
It's like a live improv.
Pretty good, actually.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a live, it is. It's like, that's why, but I always ask people coming in, and because I remember, I go, do you want to know the questions I'm going to ask ahead of time? And they all say no. It's so much more fun to be there and to feel it and to have it be live and to have to perform right then.
Yeah.
So sometimes, say someone telling a joke that isn't laughing, that isn't funny, I will make it my purpose to find something about what's happening that's going to make me laugh, whether how bad it is, the look on your face, knowing you're in the middle of a bit that is going to eat dicks.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
I'm going to find something about what's happening that's going to make me laugh. And that way, I'm going to be in the moment. I'm going to be authentic, but I'm going to let you know, hey, you know what? You're f-ing doing great. You're taking a swing. That's all. That's better than everybody else who's watching. You're taking a f-ing swing.
You're up
and
there.
And so, like, yeah. I know if some people think, like, that's a lot of fake laughing. I've figured out a way to keep it authentic and to still, I want everyone to know we're having a good time here. I am really laughing because even if you're bombing, it's funny. It's funny.
Yeah.
Even if you're saying the look on your face right now is funny or
it's entertaining.
You just crushed it. But I, you know, I think people, when you're confident, you're better. So I'm not going to sit there and stonewall you while you're on my fucking show. You just be like,
make me laugh, clown.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Suck like, it out.
Yeah, yeah. Really good job. You know what I mean? I know I just gave you 15 seconds to think of a jangle for Lunchables. That's the best you can do.
Do better.
Yeah. But and look, there are people like Fortune. Fortune is a legitimate star. If you see the dancing she did on the show, you don't have to even play the volume, but if you see, she just went for it.
Yeah.
I was like, we're going
to
do a dance.
You have to respect that.
I said, we're just going
to
do a dance off. And she said, okay. Look at, watch.
Yeah.
She's trying to do the worm. But it's not going
that's
anywhere.
That's awesome.
It's fantastic. But you know what? It's just, that's what it is. And I find that the stupider you get in front of other people, and the more embarrassed you get, one, the less embarrassing it gets every time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you something, man. You feel better about yourself. You're like, holy shit, so that just happened, and I'm still here.
I'm still alive. I'm still breathing. I still have my career.
Yeah.
We're here.
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my youngest son had a really hard time. I remember he took a public speaking class in high school I remember that first thing he did. And I could see him, hands shaking, but he's done it more and more, and he's like, I like it now. Just because he realized that fear, you know, nobody wants to look stupid.
For sure.
But everybody has.
It's all about the reps. The more reps you take, you know, and feeling uncomfortable. I remember the first time I did stand-up, and I was so nervous. I was 20, 21. I was a little bit older than you. You started when you were 15, you said. My dad was in the crowd just like your first time. And I was so nervous. Palms were sweaty. I was shaking. I had
like Eminem.
Eminem. I was B-Rabbit. B-Rabbit, bro. I threw up my mom's spaghetti.
I'm so sorry.
Right. Hands are shaking, palms are sweating.
My knees were weak.
Yeah.
and I took some shots of Jack.
Then you lost yourself.
And I yeah. lost myself, yeah. and I did not come back from it. So I was hosting that night, and I bombed my first time out on stage.
Of course.
Just totally bombed. I forgot all my material yeah. that I had memorized. And when I was 20, I wrote everything down word for word, how I would say each word. You know, it was so pre-planned, which is totally opposite from what you're talking about. And it just didn't work. But I was hosting that night. So the third time I got up on stage to introduce the next comic, I riffed with one of the audience members, ad-libbed everything, and I made the whole audience laugh. And I was like, ooh, that tasted good. I was like, that's all I needed.
Yeah.
But I love this.
It also was probably the first time you were authentically you. So mm-hmm. when you're riffing, one of the reasons I think riffing, people like it so much, and this isn't a conscious reason or decision on their part, but you're actually seeing whoever that person is take away the scripted and just talk.
Yeah.
So it's so natural. It's so conversational. Now, there is also something to the spontaneity. You almost respect it more.
Yeah.
Part of it is just you were natural, you know?
Yeah. And I felt it. I was like, oh, this is what's going to keep me doing this, you know? It felt great. Now, do you take what you do on your show like that, you know, that controlled chaos, that just kind of riffing, do you use that for your stand-up, you know?
Saturday Night Late Show, I take an edible.
Yeah.
And we see what happens. So I will, it's not that you don't get a show. I don't take the edible before the show. Yeah. I take it on stage.
And so, I've seen that. Yeah. I've seen you do it.
I take it on stage, and then if I take it at 15-minute mark, by the 45-minute mark, I'm feeling it.
Gotcha, okay.
We've been doing press since I think I got up this morning at 6, but I went to sleep at like
me
3.
Me too.
And I was pretty high.
I was running.
Yeah, you were running. If I was your fiancé, I would put things in your shoes. I would write a note like, do you really have to be up at 6:30, motherfucker? Have we started the podcast yet?
No. Okay. When should we start? 3, 2, 1.
And everybody.
It's Josh Wolf, everyone.
Hey, everybody. I love performing here.
Yeah.
I love performing here because, first of all, it's one of the two cities in the States where you can still say whatever the f*** you want. Nobody gets offended.
Yeah.
Philly and Boston.
Boston. I was going to say Boston. Yeah.
Yeah, you really... Not that I say crazy things.
These are real blue-collar cities that don't give a shit. Like, they tell how it is.
You're from Boston, right?
Yeah, I'm from Western Mass. But that's kind of... Blue-collar is kind of my feel.
Yeah.
I think L.A. is my hardest city to perform in.
All those velvet ropes. It's not like it in Philly.
It's not just that. Like, okay. Like I said, stand-up is at an all-time high in the quality and the time people put into their craft. But... I'm not clever. My jokes are right here. I tell stories. They're right in front of your face. Mm-hmm. And it's just, and there's no anger to them. There's not a lot of bite or angst.
Sure.
It's just relatable, silly shit.
Yeah.
It's not clean, right? I would say it's closer to naughty than it is dirty, but.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, naughty, yeah.
But I just don't know that is the vibe right now. At the store, at the Comedy Store,
sure.
Crushers.
Yeah.
F***ing Burr, Rogan, Diaz, Theo Vaughn, Chris D'Elia, Sebastian.
Yeah.
A f***ing Whitney, Nikki Glaser. Just every night, Ron White, Crushers. And they all have a bite to them.
True.
That's their fans are there. So I don't know that's my... I still love going up on that stage,
mm-hmm.
and I like it because it's a challenge, but I don't know that's my best. Also, I do a 15-minute story. If you don't know me that well, and I get on stage and just tell one joke.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's only 15-minute sets of a story.
Tough for sell, yeah. It's tough for sell. I'll tell you something, man. You know, guys like Rogan and the speed at which they turn around their hours, it pushes all of us.
Yeah, it's unreal.
And they're still great. Because here's another thing that pushes all of us. He's almost, to me, single-handedly changed people's work ethics. You look at him, that dude does 27 podcasts a week. They're all 8 hours long. He trains for 17 hours a day.
Yeah.
He does every MMA fight. And then when he's, you know, if he's at the store, he's doing two, three sets a night.
Yeah.
He's doing six, seven sets a week.
He's grinding.
And he's at the top of the game.
Yeah.
what are we waiting on? Right. Chappelle will stop in and do an 2 hours at midnight in front of 14 people.
His special was unreal.
Unreal.
One of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
By the way, I don't even think it was his best special.
No? You don't think so?
No.
What would you say?
Hard for me to say. And by the way, I'm not saying it's bad, by the way.
Yeah.
Not sure. But it might have his my favorite line out of any of his specials.
Which one?
Where the one he did that impersonation and he was like, "Who is it?"
You.
And he said, "You motherfuckers. You are the worst motherfuckers I've ever had to perform in front of in front of my entire life." I was like, with the balls.
Yeah.
Top of the special. You know who I'm going to call out first? You.
Everyone. Yeah.
Oh, it's, whoa.
It's great.
But I didn't even understand what the big deal was.
No, me either.
I'll tell you something. There's a guy out who put out a special the same week as Chappelle.
Mm-hmm.
Wildly popular on YouTube. A guy named Andrew Schultz. He put out his crowd work special.
I didn't see it.
Exponentially. Now, edgier. Pushed the envelope. Said things that make you shake your head more than Chappelle. Way more. And by the way, funny.
Sure.
Funny. Andrew Schultz is funny.
The Bill Burr, I thought, was way more intense than the Dave Chappelle one.
Me too.
And I thought it was hilarious.
Me too.
I thought that was one of his funniest.
Yeah,
specials.
I mean, it's hard for me to pick my favorite with those guys. But for me, again, like, you know what I liked about Burr's is that first half of the special, he was punching out.
Yeah.
And the second half, he was punching in.
Mm-hmm.
The first half, he was like, bang, 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 bang,
sure.
Bang, bang, bang. And the second half was all about him.
Self-deprecating.
Yeah. It was really interesting the way he did that. I haven't asked him if that was on purpose to kind of take Sting off of it.
Right.
Or if that was just how it kind of shook out.
Yeah, yeah. But that's kind of how he is and how Chappelle is. Like, it's equal opportunity. I mean, everyone.
But as it should be. And
as
I've,
it should be.
I've said a million times, if you can't laugh at yourself, you're not allowed to laugh at anybody else. I was in a Uber in St. Louis, and this dude, he was like, "Hey," he saw my guitar. He goes, "You a musician?" I go, "No, I'm a comic." He goes, "Oh, really?" I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "I know some jokes." And right away, I was like, "Oh, shit."
Here we go.
And he goes, "I know 3,500 jokes." I go, "That's a very specific number, man." And he goes, "Yeah, I have a joke book, a 3,500 joke book of jokes." And I go, "Oh." He goes, "You want to hear them?" I go, "Sure." And he goes, "Just so you know, I'm not politically correct." I'm like, "Oh, here we go." And he opened, and I'm Jewish. He opened with seven Jew jokes. By the way, I'm not offended. I'm not offended.
Yeah.
I'm big on intent.
Right.
And like, this dude's intent is ignorant and probably prejudiced as he is towards. I didn't. His intent was try to be funny. So he told seven Jew jokes and like old ones. Like, how did the penny get invented? The two Jews arguing over a penny. Oh, and how did copper wire get invented? Two Jews arguing over a penny, right?
Because
they pulled
that.
It out.
Oh, I'm sure he did. Why are Jews'
nose so big? Air is free.
Air is free.
Yeah. Why did the Jew run on the field? He tried to get the quarterback.
Oh my God.
You know, things like that.
Yeah,
paraphrasing,
yeah.
But oldies but goodies.
Yeah.
Oldies but goodies.
He was trying to relate. He was trying to be a comic for a day.
So I was like, oh, and he had a and by the way, this is literally out of maybe a Jim Jefferies stand up. He had a cross over his rear view. I go, "You know any jokes about Jesus?" And he said, "We don't joke about Jesus." And I was like, "Right." But the Jews, by the way, Jesus was a Jew. But the Jews, cool. And he had a joke. But he kept saying, "No, I'm not PC." I'm like, okay. But he would hit everybody except his group.
Right.
You got to be able to hit your group.
Most definitely.
That's like when people, if you're fat and you're like, "Don't fat shame." But did you laugh at the joke about the Republicans? Well, some of those people. You know what I mean? Well, it's not
full
the same. Not the same being a fat. Okay, because you can choose to be. Okay, whatever.
People pick and choose what they find funny or offensive,
and they justify why it's okay. Well, it's not okay to laugh at me being gay because that's not a choice.
Right.
You choose to be Republican. No, that's not it. You're going to laugh at somebody else.
Yeah.
You have to be able to laugh at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's end of the story. And if you can't laugh at yourself, you're missing out. You're missing out. You know, I went on Andrew Santino's podcast.
I heard that.
He laid into me a bunch. He made jokes
about your age.
Age, being dumb. And by the way, guys, I like pretending to be stupid. You know what? When you go through life and people think you're dumb, you know what? Very little expectations.
Yeah.
I like that.
I don't do the dishes. I don't have to do my laundry.
Like, yeah, yeah.
I don't have to take out the trash.
Yeah, leave him alone.
I'm getting away with
he's
a lot
dumb.
Of shit. Yeah.
I'm good with that. Very low expectations. But I was laughing the whole time. And afterwards, he was like, man, that was a lot of fun. You had a good sense of humor about yourself. I'm like, I don't. First of all, who cares what you think? Who
cares? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I know who I am. I smoke a lot of weed. Yeah, I'm older than you. Yeah, maybe I've lost some IQ points over the years. All those being true. And who cares?
Yeah.
I was high. I smoked a lot of weed. So
let's face it. Yeah.
Let's be honest. I didn't have a whole lot of quick, sharp comebacks. I think I did a lot of, well, that's true.
Not going to fight you on that one.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. No, you're 100% right. Yeah.
Wait, before I let you go, I got hit by a car today running.
Wait, what?
So, yeah, I know. I'm burying the lead here an hour and a half into the podcast. So I'm running, right? And this girl, she's like in a little Honda Civic, this brunette, she's driving up to the stop sign and she's kind of like inching. Like she's not really stopping, she's inching. And like I'm jogging towards that intersection. I'm like, all right, well, she's going to stop. I'm going to run past and then she's going to make her turn.
Mm-hmm.
She did not stop. And my front end, my chest and my arms ended up on her hood like that. So she hit my like upper body. She didn't see me. She put her hand over her mouth in shock and she didn't know what to do. She didn't roll down her window. She just like slowly drove off.
She drove off?
She hit me and then she drove off. She was shocked. Like she did not believe that like she didn't see me. I think she was on her phone. Like she was texting in her lap and she didn't realize that she kind of like went into me. Yeah.
Kind of went into you?
It wasn't like full speed or anything. Like right. I wasn't
like
injured during this. But it was very abrupt. Like I did not expect it. Like I've never been hit by a car. I've been running every morning. This is a first. You know,
yeah.
I've never
how
had
How long you been running?
Never had the situation.
How long
for the past few months. Not, this is my first, you know, car
you feeling
experience.
Any gains?
Yeah. Yeah. I lost 30 pounds since February.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Shit.
I started doing the keto thing at first, right? And then I was like, I lost some pounds there. It came off like out the gate, right? I dropped like 10 pounds easily. And then I was like, I miss carbs. So I'm going to start eating carbs again. And then I started running because I heard that it's really good for your just mental. Like,
yeah.
Good for anxiety, good for stress, just think things out. So I just started running. And then after a few months, I do like 10 miles a day now.
10 miles?
Yeah.
That's why he starts at 6:30.
Yeah.
How long does that take?
10 miles, like an hour and a half. I did the half marathon, which is 13.1. I did that in 2 hours.
Nope.
I get addicted to things.
Every
I get into
day?
It. Yeah, just about. Like today, I only did 6 miles. Because I got hit by a car.
Wait.
What did you do after?
I would have done more, but I kind of got hit by a Honda.
Do you run 10 miles in a row?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Without stopping,
That seems like really difficult.
So I built up to that. So like just a few months ago, I can only do 2 miles in a row. So I just get addicted. I get hooked. And then probably like 5 months from now, I'll never run ever again. I get hooked and then I get obsessive.
Yeah.
And then I'll drop it.
Seriously, I don't know if running 10 miles every day is good
for your it's
body.
Not healthy.
No.
No, it's not. It's not good.
It's impressive, but it's not good.
I'm sure your fiance is like, and you know, I could think of some things you could do with that hour and a half every morning.
Do you work out, though?
Yeah, do you even lift, bro?
Yeah,
I do. I work out. I work out more on the road than I do at home.
Yeah.
Just because I try to be as present as I can, even though it's impossible.
Right.
But I try to do 4 days a week. See what, you know, I'm at a point where I'm like, I'm really close to giving up.
Just packing it in.
Yeah. I mean, what do I still got to work out for? You know, you hit a certain age, you're like, who am I doing this for again?
Your
Who's
health?
This for? Yeah.
Health. What are you talking about? Like, those last 5 years of my life that I'm going to try to hold on to. If you told me you work out every day, what's the big thing that's going to happen? Well, you're going to be alive from 85 to 90. Pass.
Yeah.
Pass. I want to know when I have 30 days to live because I'm going to buy heroin. I'm going to try it. I don't care how old I am. As soon as the doctor gives me a certain amount of time, I'm like, go get me that black tar.
Nice.
And see what that. Oh, man.
Well, Camden's right across the river.
Is that where you get it?
Oh,
is
man.
Is that where you're jogging to every morning?
Well, yeah. I'm hooked, baby.
Yeah.
I'm hooked.
The heroin jogger?
Yeah.
That sounds like Quentin Tarantino lyrics.
Yeah.
The heroin jogger.
Improv team.
It's a good indie flick.
Wow, so completely different.
So good to have you back in Philadelphia, man.
Thanks for having me.
Philly loves you. I had such a great time seeing you last year. I can't wait to see you this weekend. You kill it as always. Your stories, you're just such a chill, funny dude. And you spent a lot of time with us, so we can't thank you enough. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me.
This is our first ever podcast.
Yeah, first ever.
First ever podcast. Philly is funny, so thank you for debuting it. You're awesome.
Oh, man. This is the first one?
First one, baby.
Well, first of all, I wish I had known the mics were on. Second of all, if I'd known this was your first one, I'd have tried to be funnier.
I think we reeled him in. I think we roped him, right?
We covered a lot of ground.
We did.
I feel like we did.
A lot of body parts, a lot of ground.
Yeah. And I think the overall theme is you need to get your shit together.
Yeah, we got an intervention.
A lot of working on me today, and I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I feel like a new me.
You got
appreciate
it.
You, man.